Hey, everybody, it's Monday, April 8th, and you know it's time for Black Twitter at 7 p.m. here every Monday on BHL, Black Hollywood Live. We got a full show for you guys tonight on Black Twitter. First of all, RIP Neighborhood Nip. Nipsey Hussle's death has been felt around the world. Plus, we got Kodak Black and Future kind of stepping in it. They're getting dragged on the internet. But no fear, Beyonce's always here to save the day. Shout out to the Bayhive. We got a new project from her, I think, coming along with Netflix called hashtag Beyonce. Beyonce Homecoming. So, plus we got a couple of good guests. So, everybody sit tight.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
What up, what up, what up, what up? We got a great show. Hey. I got a new panel tonight, but before we get into that, for those of you who are new and are just tuning in, Black Twitter, we come to you every Monday night at 7 p.m. live here on BHL every Monday. Tune in every week, and we could even get at you in the chat, and we bring you all the latest updates on what's going on in Black Twitter. We give you the blast of celebrity beef, politics, entertainment, anything in social media. We bring it to you right here on Black Twitter every week, Monday at 7. And, you know, we got a full house tonight. You know, house tonight. First of all, you know, what we got to say, on my far left, I got to introduce our co-host, my boy Kelly. Kelly's in the house.
Yes. What's going on,
AKA
everybody?
AKA Chaos Jones.
Whoop, whoop. What's up? Happy to be here.
Yeah, and we have our celebrity guest, Sterling, my homegirl, super talented rap singer. We're going to find out all about her.
Yes.
So Sterling's in the house.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you guys both.
Excited to dive in. Let's do it.
And we're going
to
do it. We got a good show. We got some dope hosts, some dope guests. We got a good squad, so let's do it.
Let's go.
All right, everybody. So first up, we have an update on the R. Kelly / Kim Fox situation. She's the prosecutor who was actually responsible for dropping the charges on Jussie Smollett. But she's also tangled up in this whole R. Kelly thing because she's a prosecutor from Chicago. Right. So I'm just going to ask you guys, before I get into it, do you guys know anything about Kim Fox and her political attachments and, you know, as far as, like, what's going on with the cases?
I've become more involved in it just recently with the R. Kelly situation and the Jussie situation. But as far as her history before that, not as much. But I definitely have observed the way she's handled these two brothers' cases. And it's been a little interesting.
It's been very interesting.
A little interesting, yeah. Woo!
Okay,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm still going through doing my homework in regards to Kim Fox. I'm definitely up to snuff on the Jussie situation as well as R. Kelly. But yeah, I'm definitely still doing my research. I feel torn because I feel some kind of way still about the Jussie Smollett.
Right.
Case.
I think we all do.
And given that I feel some kind of way, is it wrong? Because I kind of like the way she dealt with his situation, I guess, in the sense of the fact that he's not about to do any kind of time, and that and the 16 felonies were thrown out. So even without really being familiar with her, that already kind of gained her a few points, and curried her a few favor points with me. But yeah, I still have to do my research and find out a little bit more, because I know there's new developments every
and
week.
And Kelly, I kind of threw you a curveball, and let me give you the update, you guys, because she's interconnected on both cases.
Exactly. Yeah.
So last week we talked about her involvement in the Jussie Smollett case, how she's getting criticized for throwing out all 16 counts.
Right.
And she's also been her prosecuting office, you know, in Chicago's over the R. Kelly case. Now, this is what she did was irregular, and I kind of like buried the lead for you guys because I want to tease up to it.
Right.
What she did was she was known for, after the R. Kelly documentary came out, Surviving R. Kelly, she actually put it out there publicly. If there's anybody, you know, who has any information on R. Kelly,
please,
if he has assaulted you, please come forward. And, you know, on the one hand, we found out that Kim Fox is a very respectable, educated sister. You know, we support her. I think she's actually a survivor of sexual assault.
Exactly.
On the flip side, some people think, you know, maybe that wasn't, you know, necessarily the most objective thing to do in light of the documentary, because here's what happened. We got celebrity lawyer Michael Avanti coming in.
Yeah.
He passed on to her these tapes Turns out that one of the tape was an old tape. We thought it was a new tape. And all these old cases that she had thought were, you know, that she was ready to open up, these were older cases that were being thrown out. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Let's do this. I usually don't go to Lipstick Alley. Lipstick Alley had the breakdown. They really broke it all down. Yeah, so I don't know if you can zoom in on that, on that, Jonathan. And we're going to see. They even give us like a nice little list of bullet points as we scroll down. Okay, here we go. Michael Avanti may represent, stop right there, may represent witnesses in each of the cases. Avanti, practicing law in Illinois without a license, so that's another foul on Michael Avanti's part. Right. You got to like look at everything he submits shady to Chicago. Cases, these cases were already rejected 15 years ago, and Avanti lied about having new tapes. The victim admitted in the book to lying about being 18. That's another strike. And prosecutors are solicited victims and ended up being Avanti clients. Right. All of those. So it kind of looks bad. You know, she kind of like, I guess, put her trust in this guy and maybe got out a little too ahead of it. So, but it's ironic that she's in the crosshairs of Jussie Smollett and this R. Kelly thing. So knowing that, let me know you guys' feedback. What do you think about her scenario?
I think with this situation, and I totally feel what Kelly is saying as far as, you know, of course, you don't want to see someone like publicly like ostracized and, you know, prosecuted. But at the same time, I think that we have to still hold each other like accountable. And I feel like she is, you know, towing the line as far as finding that balance between like holding down the community, but also making sure, you know, she's doing her job and having integrity. Right. And I think that that's kind of coming up here a little bit. It's like to throw out all those counts with the evidence. I think the case is still sealed, right? Like the records are still sealed. Mm-hmm. They're not letting people see the record. So I'm just like, you guys still have integrity. Mm. You want to, like, hold down the community, but you got to also have integrity and, like, do your job because that makes us look just as good also. So.
Yeah, and I'm a big believer while the Chicago PD has, they have a very spotty record, and they may not be perfect in every scenario. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. But, exactly. Kelly, what do you have to say?
Okay, so let me back it up a little bit. Now, I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. I liked how she handled Jussie's case and the fact that she did throw those charges out. Now, while it's still questionable whether or not he played a part in this attack
he did.
Okay,
he did.
I'm trying to be objective right now.
You can say allegedly, that's fine.
He's so, playing devil's
advocate. Jussie did it.
While the verdict is still out. Hold on, wait. So while the verdict is still out, I'll say this. Now, we know how things go down in this country, and I feel like regardless, I don't want to say regardless, but even if, let's just say, he did the shit, he set it up, I still feel like 16 felony counts is a little bit excessive. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why. 16 felony counts, when we have guys that are raping women in alleys and they're getting slaps on the wrist. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I don't want to ruin their future. So when you're able to do that, when you have, you know, police officers that are, you know, shooting down unarmed civilians in cold blood for all intent and purpose.
You
know what I'm saying?
Totally.
Right. And they're getting slaps on the wrist, you know, because I fear for my life.
So you're talking proportionality.
So I'm not saying an eye for an eye, but I'm saying I felt like 16 felony counts was a little heavy-handed.
That's fair.
So I appreciated her throwing that out. Now, if there's another angle that they want to hit this case and try and pursue, you know, further legal action, by all means, do what you do. But the way it was set up, knock that down. I had no time for that.
And let me jump in, because those of you who tuned in last week, this was a significant issue that came up. Basically, I was of the opinion that while we had Jussie's back in the beginning, when we heard there was some type of assault, then things started coming back and it started looking more sus. My whole thing is like, I don't know, I hope you guys never have to deal with the police and, you know, the legal system, but I know from experience that if you do and you get a cushy deal, you be humble. You say, thank you.
Yes.
I'm going to go work on myself. But what Jussie did out the door, he came in walking like George Jefferson, had his sunglasses on.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, I've been acquitted of all charges. You know, Chicago PD, you know, they done me dirty. You know, I'm a chip off the old block of my mom. I'm exaggerating to make a point.
Right.
And the way I come from is like, talk about black people or people in general right. holding each other accountable. If you're faking the funk, we got to hold you accountable.
Because
that
grace.
Makes the cause look bad. Yeah. It doesn't mean we can't say, come on home, brother. But I just know that when you have a certain a level of arrogance with the police department, that's when they start stacking those charges.
Right.
And those 16 felony counts were each time he lied. And they have right. the right to do that. It's you know, they were definitely stacking the deck, but legally that's how they were able to justify
right.
the 16
counts. And I understand that. It's still a little heavy-handed.
Yeah,
but yes, no, you're 100% right.
I think the balance, again, coming back to, like, we just have to, like, realize, okay, like, what was the happy medium between those 16 counts? And again, him right. coming out like that, I was not aware he came out swinging like that.
Oh,
like,
man, you should have seen it. Go to the press, little, go to the press release. Yeah.
Hey, he was definitely puffed up
he was
in the
puffed
chest.
Up.
And I can understand why he, you know, I can understand that. But at the same time, like you said, It's one of these touchy situations where it's like, yeah, you kind of low-key might just want to have several seats and play a low profile.
And I want to put a pin in the whole Jussie Smollett thing real quick, too. I'm actually more sympathetic for Kim Foxx's position as far as R. Kelly. I don't necessarily think there's something wrong with putting out the call. Maybe it was abnormal and inappropriate. Maybe she got, you know, she lost her objectivity on the facts or on the evidence when it was presented to her.
Right.
But her ties to, like, the Obama party and, you know, Chen, who was ahead of Michelle Obama's staff
right.
texting her all these texts leaked where she was like, okay, we're going to do this as a favor for you guys. We're going to try to get
my...
It just looks really bad.
Right.
So she didn't really cover her ass on that, you know.
Yeah.
But can we just, real quick, and I know you said the pen, I'm sorry, but can we just go ahead and acknowledge, and I'm not saying two wrongs make a right,
right,
but can we acknowledge that this kind of stuff happens on the other side of the fence all the time?
Yes.
It's just that in this particular case... Shit
totally.
Came to light.
Oh no, I'm
now,
not saying that.
Oh,
yeah, I'm just thinking we
up,
need
guys.
To just uphold like black excellence in all situations and like integrity because I want us to be the example. I don't want us to be falling short. You
and
know
I'm,
the way the other side is falling
and
short.
And I'm the
that's
first person,
but I see you and I agree
right,
with you.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm the
not
first
saying it's right.
And I'm the first person who doesn't want to see another brother in jail.
Right.
So I don't want to see him hung up in the legal system, but just more on like a self-accountability thing.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
You're right. You're
so,
right.
All right, so let's move right on.
Moving
so everybody,
on.
We got the famous woke segment coming up. We don't need my conspiracy music yet because this is just like some real woke-ish right here. It's some real
I'm
woke-ish.
Excited.
Okay.
Right.
So first of all, we are going to talk about Nipsey Hussle. Now, we talked about his untimely death last week where he was murdered in front of his own store, the Marathon store on Slauson and Crenshaw.
Right.
And tape has emerged of this alleged killer, a.k.a. Shitty Cuz. You know, that's what he's known as in the hood. His real name.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Shithead Shitty Cuz. What's his real name?
Shitty motherfucking cuz is what I call him.
Yeah,
I call him shitty motherfucking cuz, but that's just my name
Eric
for
Holder.
Him.
Eric Holder, a.k.a. Yeah. Shitty cuz.
Can we cuss
right,
on the show?
Right.
Yeah. Can we cuss on the show?
We're supposed to keep it light, but that's his
we'll
name.
Keep it light.
We're reporting facts, but Eric Holder is
we're
his name.
We're still passionate about this Nipsey stuff, so
we're passionate.
Gonna be some
it was a big loss to people. So anyway, but good things can come out of it. We all know that Nipsey was cut down in an untimely way. We talked about how he was developing a STEM center in his community called Vector 90. We talked about he had nearly bought up the whole strip mall, including the barbershop, the burger shop, named the barbershop in memory of one of his boys who had been killed, and generally preached self-reliance. The brother owns his own masters. You know, he's like a true example of black excellence.
Yes, absolutely. So, amazing artist.
But one of the good things that came out of it was, I don't know if you guys know, Big U, he's like an OG Rolling 60s Crip. I've heard of Big U for years just only because I'm from LA.
Right.
But he's one of the OGs who's actually been working to rebuild the community on like the last decade or so. He has a really nice stipend, I think, from the government where he gets works to help put out, you know, beefs in the community. And
awesome.
And Big U is one of those guys who
That's
actually
beautiful.
Said that, you know, because I spent so much time destroying my community, I looked at it as my responsibility to, you know, to help build it back up.
Respect.
Yes.
So what Big U did, we're about to go to his IG in a second, but what Big U did was he organized this rally literally for all the gangs, for Rolling 60s, and for those of you who aren't from L.A., their arch enemies are A-Trey gangsters, A-Trey Crips, and they've been at it for years, but he invited them, he invited all the Bounty Hunters, he invited all the East Side, Rolling 40s,
situation.
90s, even the Pyrus, and so they were able to come together in peace, and you know, we're trying to build from that as we look at the video up here from his IG.
Awesome.
All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah, man. Look at that. All the gangs, well, most of the gangs from L.A. walking over the Nip spot right now. All praise.
And I believe this is a brother from the Nation of Islam who you hear making the commentary in the background, because the Nation of Islam provided security. And you get to see the red, black, and green flag. And they walked from the Ralph's parking lot across the street in unity. Nobody could be a straggler to Slauson and Crenshaw. And there they held another vigil. So, by the way, there's going to be a formal funeral for Nipsey coming up this week.
Thursday.
April 10th at the Staples Center. So, like, imagine that. Apparently, you can go and get tickets online. I don't think they're charging.
They're tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
It goes live at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Four per person.
All right. Now, with that said, it's been a huge loss to all of us.
Yes, it has.
Sometimes you see, when someone's death happens, you feel certain people try to exploit it or try to twist it to their point of view. I'm going to throw this out, for example. We're about to throw to a tweet that Tariq Nasheed put up. And Tariq Nasheed, very controversial brother. I love him to death. He's very provocative, whether you like him or not. But he put Jemele Hill on blast. And basically, Jemele Hill had basically written an article indirectly blaming Nipsey's death for not just toxic masculinity, but black men and toxic masculinity. And there was another writer as well. I forget his name on NBC. And
George M. Johnson.
Thank you for his name on
his
NBC.
Article.
And then Jemele's article on The Root, she talked about how she implied that he was homophobic. So before we even get into all that, let's go to Tariq's tweet, because I think he nailed it.
Okay.
All right, so here's Tariq Nasheed's tweet. The white media got another one of their known plantation minions to write an article slandering Nipsey Hussle after his death, as far as homophobia and toxic black masculinity, as if that fuels the culture and his death. So I'm all open for the discussion, but just too soon, y'all.
Yeah.
Too soon.
I think it's too soon for sure. And I breezed over the article briefly, the article that George M. Johnson wrote. And I just think that people don't completely understand the culture and understand what Nipsey was trying to do from the inside out. And him keeping his connections to his neighborhood and his history was a way, I feel like, to make his people feel inclusive always and to never ostracize or segregate himself from his people. So I think it's too soon to be discussing it. Like, we should be focusing on, like, other things, honoring his family.
And if anybody knew Nipsey, he was inviting to, like, the average homeless person, street person on the street. He would give them food, give them money, the guys who were doing construction. He had love for everybody. So, but, Kelly, what do you have to say?
Okay. So, here we go. I agree that it was too soon. I can also understand what George was trying to say. But I think...
And you're clarifying further, he wrote the NBC article.
Right, and George was actually the one that wrote the NBC article. And I can understand what he's trying to say. It's still a bad take, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like he had a lot of valid points. But choosing Nipsey Hussle as his target was exploitive. He could have chose any number of people from the hip-hop community if he wanted to, in terms of homophobia and toxic black masculinity. With Nipsey Hussle, we got to see him grow and evolve.
Yes,
and I think
we can all
appreciate that everyone's going to grow and evolve. Mm-hmm. I'm not the same person that I was 5 years ago. There's mm-hmm. so much now that I've learned in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's changed my outlook and my views on things. And that's what we were seeing with Nipsey Hussle.
Okay,
feel like it was just way, way over the top to even target him.
We got you.
We got you.
Totally clear. And to give it context, the reason I brought up Jemele Hill.
Like, Kelly, shut up.
The reason I brought up Jemele Hill and Tariq specifically addressing her,
yeah.
because she had sent out some other tweets basically alluding to not just toxic masculinity, black male toxic masculinity in particular. And I'm trying to think of the exact context. She brought it up. She had basically implied that the heterosexual black male was too entitled, had too much privilege, and that,
too much.
Basically implied that too much privilege.
I'm out of my seat, right now.
And that the black, the heterosexual black male was on the same level, I guess, politically and entitlement wise as white men. We're like black men are the new, straight black men are the new white men. And I'm not the first person that I've heard say that.
Yeah. I've actually heard that before.
So anyway, so yeah, I just want to get, so that's the context. But with that said, I think you guys have all weighed in on it brilliantly. I just want to go to the next topic because we got to get really going soon. All right, so next up, we got my man Big Boy. Everybody who knows, let me come to my woke camera because we're still on the woke camera. My boy Big Boy from Big Boy's Neighborhood, just legendary radio host, the voice of LA as we call him. He had to check. He had to check Kodak Black. So before we throw to what Big Boy said, let's just talk about Kodak Black. I'm not even going to give him any run here. I didn't want to run his video about what he said. But basically, he said something in poor taste on an IG Live. People, these IG Live videos get you in trouble. I saw Cardi got in trouble. But basically, he implied that he wanted to date Lauren London, Nipsey's fiance. I don't know if they're married. You know, her partner. You know, and that you know he could be the shoulder to cry on. You know, she'll be a whole widow, and you know you need to get with me.
Yeah, completely, I'm gonna give her like 2 years to cry and mourn and shit.
Yeah, completely desperate. So I mean, he's even get rolled up in his own hood. I believe in Florida, like even the Haitians were like canceled him out there. But we had a lot of rappers come out against him. We had the Game. We had T.I. and then somebody else who I'm forgetting. But man, I want to get to Big Boy because Big Boy is kind of like the leader when you think of media here in L.A. So let's look what Big Boy had to say. And this is actually World Star repeating what Big Boy said, what Big Boy tweeted. Big Boy had this to say in regards to Kodak Black's words and about Lauren London. Do y'all agree? I won't disrespect my timeline posting a pic of Kodak Black. However, I will say this. I'm not here for the blatant disrespect and fake apologies. To disrespect the King Nipsey and the Queen Lauren is where I draw the line. Hip-hop has been very disrespectful lately. Not only is the disrespect to hip-hop, but this is disrespectful to a beautiful human being, spirit, and legacy. Yeah. Sometimes I feel a certain way, but I don't publicly speak out. Anyway, you can go to Big Boy's Twitter, and if he deleted it, you can also go to World Star where they've reposted it. But I think let's throw to a picture too. I guess if we go down to the next link, let's go to a picture of Big Boy and Nipsey on my rundown. And there's a picture of both of them. You know, looks like a picture taken this week. And you know, like I said, Big Boy is the voice of LA as far as hip hop goes and media goes for our generation, my generation. He has been for decades. And Nipsey Hussle was that new voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm floored that anyone would step. Except to Lauren like that or mention anything like that, that's completely disrespectful. There's really nothing else to say about that. That's like an open and shut case. That's crazy.
Yeah, I feel like this is the next evolution of, you know, when keeping it real goes wrong.
Way too wrong.
The only other thing that I have to say about this, because, you know, I appreciate everybody stepping up and kind of low-key, you know, trying to check him and put him in his place. Someone made a good point. They said, we should have canceled Kodak Black a long time ago. This dude's got rape charges, in addition to, you know, his harassment of Young Ma.
Nah.
So that energy that we have now, we should have had then. But, you know, at least we're here at that point where we are putting him in his place. Yeah.
So, in other words, his behavior has always been problematic.
It's always been problematic, and we got to do better and cut that stuff off beforehand, before it gets to this point.
I'm not here to defend Kodak Black, but I think he's like in his early 20s. And to be honest, as a teacher, I used to teach in LAUSD South Central for 10 years. He reminds me of so many of my students.
Yeah.
And he's not always young, he's immature. He may even be slightly delayed, and he doesn't really have a full caption of the English language at some times, even though he's a great rapper. Those don't necessarily have to go hand in hand. But he seems a bit delayed, in my opinion. I used to take special ed.
That was very nice.
That was
a very nice way of putting it.
Outside of that, because you can't make a medical professional judgment, you know, over the air. But outside of that, I actually, he wasn't saying it to the camera. He was talking to his homeboys in a candid moment. But somebody did not have his best interest at heart when they posted that.
No, that's not for sure.
So on top of it would seem like a really kind of casual thing. Like, yo, man, this is just rude, but you know, we know there's all shady. There's shady brothers out there who are trying to sleep with your lady when your body is not even cold in the coffin.
Right.
But someone reposted it, and then his apology was just trash. It was just total trash.
Anytime that you start off with your apology is, I apologize, but it's a wrap.
Oh, yeah, there's no
it's
but.
A wrap. It's not an apology at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, like, that's like community business. Sometimes I wish that would stay in the community, and like these kids who have so much, you know, attention right now, and they have these platforms, so they don't know how to use them necessarily. Like, we need more coaching like what Big Boi is giving, and like different people in the community like Nipsey Hussle to kind of step in and let people know, like, look, this is not how you carry yourself in public, especially in a sensitive time like this. Like, that's bananas.
Okay, we got one more element that's related to the Nipsey Hussle segment, the woke segment, but here we can start getting conspiratorial. We can start bringing my conspiracy
your
music.
Part.
My favorite part,
this
everybody.
Is your favorite part.
All right. What rapper do you think will compare himself to Nipsey Hussle and say that, yeah, guys like me and Nip, we've been doing it for years. I've been doing it for a long time, holding it down for my neighborhood just as well. And all my baby mamas, I take care of all of them, except the ones who don't show me love back. So what type of rapper, what rapper do you think said that?
All my baby mamas?
He has a lot of baby mamas, at least five. Percocet. Molly Percocet. Percocet. Molly Percocet.
Future.
Yeah. That's a few people with hella. It's a few people with hella baby mamas. I was like,
right, this is true.
Future's one of the most
notorious. Yeah, that's fair.
But he compares himself to neighborhood Nip.
He said,
can
we
you
need
guys
more like
that?
Us.
We need more like us. No. If you believe, I really got to put on my tinfoil koofy for that. So let's get, you know, let's go. Let's give a Future's Day in Court, and let's go to let's go to the video. And I believe he gives a response at a certain point. Well, first of all, to set the stage, a blogger, a black Twitter user, had actually posted one of Nipsey's old tweets. Where he's talking, Nipsey is talking about empowering the community, teaching your brother to fish. There's an expression, I will teach him how to fish, so you know he can learn how to fish without me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just, you know, some people I gave the game to. I gave it to him for free. Some of them surpassed me. Some of them didn't do anything with it, but I did my best. And let's just go to the video and see what Future has to say.
Do need more like us. I've been teaching and preaching for a decade.
Future
voice. Showing proof and well, hard work and dedication to get you.
So, the commentator is reading Future's voice.
When I tell y'all people on Twitter or Instagram or whatever went ape shit, man.
So, we're about to hear all the reactions on Twitter.
Y'all can read this shit. I got a few of the responses. That nigga, shut up. Ain't nobody talking about you. This ain't a... Man, whole bunch of you ain't even... Hey, these are the people. These are people speaking. These are people you want to sell your little album to and go get that Future Hendrix.
And that's Young Pharaoh giving us a commentary that...
You got people keeping it 100 on this post, man. Hell no, nigga, Future, what have you done? When you compare these two brothers, and true enough, I can't say Nipsey Hussle won. Nipsey Hussle was putting that bullshit out here, too. That murder kill and talking about that gang shit. Yeah, it seemed like the brother grew out of that.
All right, let's stop it right here. You can leave the video up, Jonathan, and I'm just going to talk over it. I just want to emphasize that it was actually Young Scooter who actually reposted Nipsey's old tweet, and that's a shout-out to Pharaoh giving us the commentary.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, is Future the new Nipsey Hussle?
That's so laughable.
I just don't even barely want to touch this one. I'm just going to say I have not seen... that evidence to make that comparison.
The audacity!
But it doesn't mean that evidence does not exist. Again, okay. Nipsey is like home court for me, home court for you too, Al.
Right,
so like,
right.
We're in LA, like, we're close to that. We see the culture.
It's home to us.
We see the work he's doing. We see the evidence, you know, for him to be able to, like, claim the things that he claims. I haven't seen that type of work and philanthropy.
I'm pretty sure nobody in Atlanta has either.
His Future spreads a lot. I don't know if he spreads a lot of stores and money. Well, he spreads a lot of his seed out here.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely. He's definitely got the green thumb.
Maybe he's private about his philanthropic work. Maybe it's something he keeps on the low.
And you know what?
But it's just a bold statement to make.
Well,
I think right now,
again, wrong time.
I think the theme of today's show is timing. And this
Fact.
Was not a time to even try and insert yourself and kind of, you know, applaud yourself and pat yourself on the back. So.
And in addition, again, to give Future an objective platform, we don't know what he's done. I'm sure he may own a Wingstop or a couple of them, but what Future hasn't done, he hasn't gone, but the Nipsey Hussle branded Crenshaw and Slauson. People know that community because of Nipsey, and that's why he was there, not to show off or make anybody feel bad, because that's who he was.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and here's the flip side. Future, knock it off, man. Wait, let me talk to my camera here. Knock it off, Future.
Okay.
You want to know why? Because you're in debt to your label. You originally signed to Rocco, and then you signed to Epic. So not only did you sign to two people at once, now you owe Rocco all your future earnings. And on top of that, you don't even own your own masters. So get off it, man. Knock it off, man. Not even close to neighborhood nip. Knock it off, man.
I'm just going to sit my Twitter tea on that one. Let me get my composure.
Yeah. So on a lighter note, ladies and gentlemen. On a lighter note,
moving
ladies
on.
And gentlemen.
Moving on.
We got some good news. We got some good news. Good news with Beyonce, the Queen Bey is back.
Yeah,
but before we get into Beyonce.
Okay.
We got to get into my.
Solange. Okay. So I just. I don't really say her real name.
So
Sterling,
funny.
Sterling.
Yes.
Wonderful rap singer, talented woman, intellect, and all-around good friend of mine. So, Sterling,
thank
how you doing?
I'm doing so good. I'm so excited to be here. It's been too much fun already.
Yeah, we've had a fun week.
Yes.
Okay, so, Sterling, so I'll go on and on about you all day, but you tell us more about yourself.
Yes. Okay, so Sterling Victorian. I am from here in L.A. I'm an artist. I rap, I sing, I write for licensing and for myself. I'm an amazing collective called Afro House that puts on... Yes. You know about Afro House?
I've heard about it in circles.
I've heard about it in circles. That's my people. That's my tribe. Yes. So we're just doing our best to move the culture forward, expose people to different music from around the diaspora, expose different poets, singers, other writers, clothing makers. We're just trying to put the community on and
all
give
that,
artists a platform.
But I don't want to brag on my girl, so you got to brag about yourself. Tell us about your music.
Okay, my music is... I love my music. I just dropped an album. It's called The Self-Love Project.
Okay.
It's really a combination of alternative and hip-hop music.
Uh-huh.
It has a strong self-empowerment message, a strong woman empowerment message mixed with a lot of ratchetness. Because
okay,
I'm
okay.
very spiritual.
Like my girl.
I'm very spiritual, but I'm also very hood.
Some people,
and very
we need to walk the line.
It's balanced.
Yeah.
I'm both.
Yeah.
So please check it out. Please check it out.
I heard your chief balances all that out.
What platforms?
All the platforms. The album is on iTunes. It's on Tidal. It's everywhere. You can follow me on Instagram, Sterling Victorian. We have an Afro House coming up this Sunday.
Nice, everybody
check
it out.
Yeah, so please check it out. Please come through.
And we can shout that in at the end of the show. But real quick, okay, so
for
instance, ladies and gentlemen, Sterling is the one who brought to my attention this new Beyonce project.
Yes.
Hashtag Beyonce homecoming. Hashtag Beychella's coming back. So
yes.
Sterling, tell us about that.
I was on Black Twitter yesterday, and all I saw was homecoming. But I knew those letters from Beychella, and I didn't even go to Beychella.
And what is Beychella? Tell
That's
us who,
iconic
for those who don't know.
Beychella was, because I didn't even go to Beychella, but I know about Beychella.
Okay.
So Beychella was Beyonce's iconic performance last year at Coachella, where she really brought Black culture to Coachella, Black culture to a predominantly white audience. I mean, it was the biggest display of Blackness that I've ever seen at Coachella,
nice.
And I've been to Coachella.
Many times.
It was very exciting. I mean, she did everything from have a line to actually sing the Black national anthem at Coachella.
Nice.
Like, that was a huge moment. Yeah.
And for those who don't know, too, a big theme was Black colleges and HBCUs.
HBCUs, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead. So, yesterday Netflix dropped a very, very mysterious ad that just said homecoming. But, of course, the Beehive knows what it was because you drop a B and the Beehive is on it. So, and today they dropped more of a video with Maya Angelou talking over some amazing footage from the making of Beychella. So it's going to really cover the culture and the camaraderie and just all the things that went into doing that iconic performance.
All right, let me hold you off right there.
Yeah,
it's real exciting stuff. So while we're sitting here talking about the new upcoming Beychella and the new Netflix documentary documenting Beychella, I think our engineer is going to be setting up the Twitter scroll. I pulled up a link where it's just all things Beyonce and all things Beyonce homecoming. I don't know if you can go to the very top of it. But here we go. Let's just look at all the posts in the timeline. Beyonce delivering new music, Netflix doc.
That was one of my faves.
Adidas. Homecoming. Let's scroll back up a little bit, Jonathan. Yeah. So that's okay. New music, Netflix doc, Adidas collab. Tell us about the Adidas collab while this is going on, Sterling.
Yeah. Well, you know, at first she had the meeting with Reebok, which everyone's been talking about this week.
They dropped the ball.
But they dropped the ball on the diversity when she was in the room. So she just hopped on over to Adidas, and it looks like they're going to be doing an Ivy Park Adidas collab, which is going to be amazing. So again, there's so much Beyonce news this week, and the Beehive is swearing that an album's about to come too.
Right?
Because they're like, Netflix is going to drop, the album's going to drop. It's about to be a lit year for the Beehive. They're excited.
Nice. And Jonathan, if you could scroll up to that that post, let's just kind of like the one below it, I guess, with Bayan. Okay, I'm just gonna read what Netflix posts, and if this is Netflix direct posted while you guys continue looking at the scroll.
Yeah.
Netflix posted an in-depth look at Beyoncé's celebrated 2008 Coachella performance, from creative concept to cultural movement, Beyoncé Homecoming.
I love it.
So everybody's excited. We love it. We're all on the lookout. And I think it's nice to put things, you know, more on a hopeful note. We got a lot of stuff.
Can
to
I be a little too. Messy, though?
Be messy. Chime Ooh. In.
All right.
Brother.
Okay.
In.
So, because I jumped the gun a little bit earlier. So, since we're talking about Coachella, we're talking about Beychella. Let's talk about Solange. She was supposed to be at Coachella this year.
What happened?
But now she's no longer going to be at Coachella because of major production issues. Now, the word isn't out yet on what actually happened regarding her production, you know, her production issues. But let me just say this. I feel like we are losing, and by we, I mean artists in general, are losing sight of the fact that this is a festival in the desert.
Oh. Break it
By
down.
That I mean this.
I agree.
I respect and I appreciate everybody's artistry. I love it. We love it, and that's what we want to see. However, don't lose sight of the fact that you are not playing in the stadium. You're not playing in Staples. You are playing on a stage in the middle of the desert. We don't need all the lights. We just need some of the lights. We came to see you. Yeah, so I feel like, you know, to let, you know, some production, production issues, because they're not able to facilitate certain things you want, actually keep you from just performing and giving that to your fans. It's a disservice to you, but it's also a disservice to your fans.
100. All right, you guys.
And that's not just for Solange. That's for everybody.
Duly noted. Duly noted.
But yeah.
But we got to move on. So we're going to wrap it up, and we're going to go to the fourth segment for our update on Surviving Cardi B.
Oh,
that's still
snap.
A thing. Surviving Cardi B. I'm just going to get through this real quick, everybody.
I'm not even
going
to talk.
I'm going to do my best imitation of the victim. I couldn't think of the guy's name. Jack King.
I'm ready
was
for
the
it.
Victim. Okay. You know, this is Jack King talking about his night with Cardi. You know, I saw her at the strip club, and, you know, I showed her a little flash of money, and she agreed to go back with me to the hotel, you know, and next thing I know, she made me a drink, cuz, and, you know, all I heard was boop, boop, and I couldn't remember a thing, cuz I passed out, and, you know, woke up, you know, naked, you know, condom wrapper on the floor. Let me stop clowning. We had talked about Jack King. That's my Jack King voice. But I wanted to give him his due. I wanted to give him his credit, because we could throw to him, and that's his IG on there. So any quick notes on Jack King before we get out of here and his scenario?
Just bless your heart and bless your soul. Yeah, I know we're short on time. I have a lot to say, but
we'll get back on that one. It's unfortunate what happened. I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's unfortunate. Sure.
But I got to wonder, like, did she just throw that on the floor and he thought maybe he still got what he paid for? I'm kind of feeling like he probably didn't really even get what he paid for.
There could be so many variables.
We're going to leave it there.
I'm going to put a nice bow on it, because we got to get out of here. But
It was wrong, though.
One of the, some of the fallout we can see from these type of scenarios is, I don't know if you guys ever watched the Bad Girl Clubs, the Bad Girls Club.
It was
but
been
one
a second,
of the Bad Girl
yeah.
Twins, her name is Sinead. She was actually guilty, basically doing the same thing, setting up dates, escorting. You know, these are paid dates. And to me, that doesn't even matter. But I want people to know the dynamic, that sex and money and drugs are all a part of it. But on this particular time, as you can see on the clip, a very pretty girl, the particular date, you know, who ended up having a little too much, we can't prove whether she slipped it in or he took too many drugs. But the point is, he didn't wake up.
Oh, no.
So this, and then she proceeded to run his pockets, take his credit card and his ATM, and run up a whole bunch of money on his account. So,
oh, no, that's
people,
not
this
right.
is why this is why this stuff isn't a joke. There's all these memes going around about, oh, how could you let yourself get robbed by Bronx stripper and complain? When you throw sex and drugs and money in the mix, you know, that's a very dangerous mix. And right now, in this particular case, if you drug somebody, they may not wake up. And in this case, Sinead didn't even call the police.
Also, I think it.
Well, that's unfortunate.
It almost puts a very bad stigma, as if they need any more negative stigmas on sex workers.
Yes,
not all sex workers are. You know,
they're all not like that. Okay. So, yeah. So, with that said, everybody, we're going to start wrapping things up.
Yeah.
Let me just remind you guys, for those of you who aren't weekly updated on Black Twitter, we do this every week.
Every week.
Monday at 7 p.m. here on BHL at Black Hollywood Live, where we give you the best in celebrity beef, social media news, entertainment, politics. You get your whole blast right here. It's a one-stop shop for Black Twitter. And yes. I want to be very, very thankful and like show some extreme gratitude for my guests.
Yes.
Let's start out on the end for my boy Kelly. My boy Kelly B. Chaos Jones.
Hey.
Kelly, thank you for coming and let the people know where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter, your boy Chaos J, K-A-O-S-J. And you can find me on Instagram, Chaos_Jones.
Hey.
And Sterling, where can they find you and what you got coming up?
Yes, Sterling Victorian. You can find me on Instagram. You can follow me, Sterling Victorian. Like I said, we have the Afro House coming up.
Nice.
This Sunday, we're donating to a great cause. So come on my Instagram, get tickets, and hopefully we'll see you there.
Hey, everybody, this is your boy Al Gregg. I'm here with you every week on Black Twitter, Mondays at 7 on BHL. You can chime in live in the chat. We'll be looking for you right now. We'll give you a shout-out, and we'll always give you the best in Black Twitter news, social media, celebrity brief, hip-hop news, politics. All that you need is one-stop shop right here every Monday at BHL, Black Twitter, 7 p.m.
Black Twitter, 7 p.m.
Bam!
Boom.
Thank you very much.
Bye, you guys. Mm.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.